the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable Podcast. Andrew and Dawn here, and thanks for listening. And if you're new to this or just hearing this, what we like to do is pick a topic or a passage of scripture and just spend some time unpacking it and pointing people to the Word. That's really the goal. And we've always said that we want to make this podcast very practical, not just head knowledge, but then, okay, how do you actually live out the Christian faith? How do you walk in obedience to Jesus? What does that look like? So that's kind of the goal. Today we have a very interesting topic, and I think today and next week come from a pastoral heart. One of the jobs that we have is to protect the people that come to North Peace and to constantly be pointing them to the Word and to Jesus and to making sure that they're not being swayed, right? Ephesians 4 talks about swayed back and forth, to and fro by false doctrine. And so, that's kind of one of the reasons we wanted to do it. I guess this is kind of a two-parter. Yeah. Today we want to talk about fresh revelations from God. You might have heard that phrase a lot, or I don't know, Don, have you heard that kicked around? I just need a fresh word, or I need to hear directly from God.
Yeah, I've heard that from people locally here and even on blogs and all that. It's kind of a new phrase, like just a fresh revelation. I don't think it's an old phrase. It's always been there, but somehow to something to energize us with a new word or a new energy or new spirit movement or something. So yeah, these have always been kind of around, but yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. And they've been, like you said, since the beginning of the church, there's always been, this idea of whether you call it, I need a prophetic word. I need someone to prophesy over me. I want to hear directly. Like, I've heard lots of people, I just want to hear God's voice. I want to hear Him directly speaking to me. So we want to spend some time going, okay, should followers of Jesus be seeking that? Is that something that we should, give a thumbs up to and say, yeah, go pursue fresh words, pursue fresh revelations from God? And if not, why? Why shouldn't we? And then we want to spend some time talking about the role of Scripture in the life of a believer. I guess right off the bat, and we'll dive into some passages and examples and stuff, but right off the bat, I'll put my cards on the table, and I think Don's in a similar place. Should followers of Jesus be seeking fresh revelations, new revelations, fresh words from God? I would say no. You should not be seeking that. And we'll get into why, but I don't know. Don, what do you say? I guess we...
He threw me under the bus. No, I agree with that. And I'm looking at Ephesians here, where some people have looked at a verse like this. It says, I have not... Paul is saying this in Ephesians 1, verse 16... I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better.
Well, Paul just told us
Paul just told us to search for revelation and have a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And I think some people use that there is maybe this possibility of hearing new things, fresh things from God. Mm-hmm. And I personally think Paul is asking us to understand what's already been written, to understand the salvation that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Mm. And Paul talks about it being a mystery, and that he wants us to understand it more and more.
Yeah.
And so the Scriptures have actually given us what that is, but I think through the Holy Spirit, we can understand it more and more.
Yeah.
And then how do we do that? And that's where we can get out of bounds sometimes, trying to find that.
Yeah. And I think there's two areas that we want to talk about. One is, which we'll spend time on first, is like you personally, when whether you're doing devotions or just in your own personal walk with Jesus, should you be wanting to have this new revelation, or you know, when you do your devotions, should you just be sitting and emptying your mind and asking Jesus to fill your, you know, give you, speak to me, God? So let's start there. And I think this comes out of, I mean, there's tons of examples. And I want to, I guess, preface this by saying this is not kind of a phenomenon just with charismatic people. I know Reformed people that believe this exact stuff too. So we want to preface that, oh, you're just picking on Pentecostals. We're not.
No, I think even personally, like, we want to hear from God.
Yes.
And so this is a personal question too. How do we do that?
Yes, exactly. But I know, like, as I've been doing research, and like, there's Southern Baptist people, Reformed people, Calvinists, Arminian, like tons. Like, so it's not a one type of person that is seeking this kind of thing. So I just wanted to say that because, you know, we don't want to be told that we're just beating up on people. We'll do that another time. So I guess this comes, a lot of it comes, is actually influenced by New Age type of thinking, this idea of just empty your mind and allow God to speak to you. I remember even in seminary, I can't remember who, but one of my fellow classmates, he got onto this whole, you know, when you do your devotions, you know, he lights a candle and then he just kind of stares at the candle and almost like trying to get himself into a Christian trance. Mm-hmm. And he said, and I just repeat the same prayer over and over, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. And just staring at the candle. And then he says, and then God speaks to me. And I just went, oh, man, I really wrestled with that, because that is a lot of actually cultish behavior, right? I'm going to repeat the same mantra over and over and over. I'm going to stare off. I'm going to try and like empty my mind. There's not a whole lot in scripture. Actually, there's nothing in scripture that says empty your mind and then God will speak to you. Actually, I think that's very dangerous when you empty your mind. A modern day example of this, there was a young lady, Sarah Young, that wrote a book, a devotional book called Jesus Calling. Massively popular, bestseller in Christian circles. But basically, she's quoted as saying, you know, she would read her Bible, but she just felt like it wasn't enough. She wanted something more. And she did this. She sat and she emptied her mind. And then she claims that Jesus spoke to her. And so this devotional book, she wrote out what Jesus said to her. And so it's written in first person. This is what Jesus wants to say to you. And lots of followers of Jesus use that as their devotional. And look, Jesus said this to me. That's just super dangerous. And part of me goes, well, why don't we then add that to the Bible? If Jesus is saying it, well, then we should print it and add it to the pages of scripture if this is actually from Jesus. So I guess, Don, I'll throw it to, I've talked enough, but like as a follower of Jesus, personally, what is the danger in pursuing that kind of stuff? Should we be, and I guess we both already answered no, but why? Why shouldn't we be pursuing direct new revelations from God? Does God still do that? Or, you know, is his word sufficient enough? I don't know. Why don't you just kind of comment on some of those big questions?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, personally, I've always, that's part of my prayer too, that I would experience my salvation in a deeper, fuller way.
Sure.
So that is, I think, a perfectly fine desire. But the danger is, and we're going to probably look at this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16.
Yeah.
Talks about scripture being God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so I guess a verse like that just keeps reminding me that in Scripture I have everything that I need to be thoroughly equipped. So that gives me encouragement that I don't have to actually go outside that to receive a special word or something to be complete. Or I think one of the dangers is that the Word of God isn't enough.
Yeah.
And that right away reminds me of Genesis 3, where the first thing Satan says, did God really say?
Yeah, and he challenges
God's word. So as soon as I'm looking to somebody or something else to try to spruce up my Christian walk or get some new energy or something, then I'm right away kind of got my red flag up, because that's what Satan said. Did God really say? In other words, is God's word enough?
Yeah.
And so I always want to kind of, okay, I need to stay in bounds.
Yeah.
And I guess a couple passages like Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer, God or Jesus taught us how to pray. And he says the pagans, they pray using lots of words, babbling. So it's like Andrew was saying, you know, to chant or to say something to try to get God's attention or maybe tap into something and that is so dangerous, because Jesus said, your Father knows already what you need, and you're talking to a personal God. So you don't have to do things to try to get his attention or to tap into something that isn't there. And one verse Andrew and I were talking about too was, it's in Colossians chapter 3. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. So Paul is always telling us to fill our minds and our lives with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So he never says empty it.
Yeah.
Never. That's so dangerous. Paul always says, fill it with the words of Christ.
Yeah.
And then the Holy Spirit will speak to you and will teach you and reveal himself more and more to you, but it will always be in line with God's word.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think it's important. We're not saying that God doesn't speak to us, but we're saying that God speaks to us primarily through the Scriptures. So, like, just to be clear, like, we're not saying, well, God doesn't speak to us anymore. No, God speaks to us every single day. Anytime you crack open the Bible, God is speaking to you. So,
and that's Paul's prayer, like in Ephesians, the Colossians, Thessalonians, he's praying that the believers would know more and more fully what Christ has done, what he's given us in his word. But Paul says we need the Holy Spirit to grow and keep understanding the fullness of what Jesus has done.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go outside of that, out of bounds. But that is Paul's prayer, that as we grow day by day, we're going to understand more fully what Jesus has done for us, and that will just breathe new life and fullness in us.
Yeah.
So,
no, and I think like you said about the emptying of your mind and, then God can fill your mind. I mean, nowhere in Scripture, we're constantly told to actually engage our minds with Scripture. Like Luke 10, Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. So not just mindless. It's not a mindless pursuit. Romans 12, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the image of the world, but be transformed. And how are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. So not just mindless. You know, God's going to transform me as I mindlessly just ask him to speak to me. Well, no, Paul said in Romans, you're actually transformed by renewing your mind. Hebrews 8, God puts his law in our minds and in our hearts. So I wrote a bunch of these down. 2 Corinthians 10, we're told to take every thought captive to obey Christ. So the Bible in all over the place talks about that actually following Jesus is a large part of it, is engaging your mind and your heart with Scripture, not just, I'm going to empty my mind. And that's very New Agey. That's very like Hinduism and the whole the practice of yoga when it is connected to Hinduism, like just empty your mind and allow whatever to speak to you. So I would say, though, some people will say, but I've done that and God did speak to me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What would you say? I know what I would say.
I think I've prayed for God to speak to me and he has.
Okay.
But it's always been, for example, when I was struggling with just assurance of salvation, we talked about that this morning.
Yeah.
I asked God to speak to me about that. I was struggling with, you know, past sins and just feeling this guilt and realizing I'm supposed to be more and more like Jesus. And I knew there's no way.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember having a bit of a crisis of faith. Like, I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I'm a billion miles away.
Yep.
And I just asked God, could you speak to me? And he did. And I was reading scripture.
Yeah.
And a verse came alive like it never had.
Yeah.
And it was 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It says, because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Hmm. And then it says, therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And I've read that verse before, but I believe God just chose to just speak to me, but it was through that verse.
Yeah.
And I looked at that. Jesus is my holiness, my righteousness, my redemption. And I just suddenly had this freedom. I will never be like Jesus, and that's okay, because he did what I couldn't do.
Yeah.
And I could rest in that, and I could boast in the Lord.
Hmm.
And so I believe God spoke to me through his Spirit, but it was through his Word.
Yeah. And I love that you said that, because I was more getting at people that have said, well, I've emptied my mind and I've stared at a candle or whatever, and God, my Bible's been closed, and I've heard directly from God. God spoke to me audibly, and I would just go, I think something did speak to you. And the Bible, like, just to realize that actually I think that's probably demonic influence. And people, I don't know, people will disagree with me, and that's fine. But I think even in like 2 Thessalonians, it talks about that Satan can do miracles and signs and wonders, and he parades as an angel of light. So I think just that practice of, well, I emptied my mind and I heard something. Well, I'm not saying that you didn't hear something. I just think that actually you're opening up yourself to demonic influence when you pursue a practice that isn't laid out for us in scripture. So like Don said, I've had lots of times when God has spoken directly to me through his Word. And I know that without a shadow of a doubt that it was him, because he's promised that he would speak to us through his Word. And I remember like a year last Christmas being in such a, and I shared this with some of the guys at Men's Prayer, man, I just feel dry and I'm tired, and I'm sure you felt like that too, like I'm out of gas, and there was some hard stuff going on and we were just exhausted. And I just said, oh God, like, I just feel so empty. And then I read Psalm 63 and it was like that. And as I actually wrote it out, Psalm 63, I wonder if I have it in this. No, I think it's in my other one. But I was like, wow, God, that is exactly what I needed to hear. Because David says, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water. And I went, man, that's exactly where I'm at. I feel dry and weary. I'm thirsty. And then what does he say? I've looked upon you in the sanctuary. And so David is remembering, right? I've remembered your power and your glory. Your love is better than life. I will praise you. So that is and I just went, thank you, God. God, through his Holy Spirit, spoke right to my soul, like, okay, remember God. Remember the good that he's done. Praise him. And that's how you're going to get out of this dry and weary land. So God totally speaks to us.
Yeah.
And it's incredible when that happens, when you have a word from God through his written word and you just go, oh man, how does he do that? Right? So I guess personally, when you're doing, I would just caution against the whole, you know, the Bible is not sufficient enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what, 500 years ago, that was one of the key things of the Reformation, saying, no, the Bible is sufficient enough. Solo scriptura, right? They said, this is what we need for life and practice, and everything we need to follow Jesus is in the Bible. So I would just really caution, if you have started, you know, dabbling into those things, well, for my devotion time, I'm just going to empty my mind and grab a pen and paper, and whatever God wants to say to me, that's my devotions. I would just say that you're really opening yourself up to demonic influence. Nowhere in the Bible are you told to empty your mind. You're constantly told that you would fill your mind with God's word. So I guess, yeah, I don't know. Any other thoughts on personally seeking new revelations? And then, because we want to spend some time about, okay, well, what happens if someone comes up to me and says, hey, I've got a word for you or whatever. But do you have any other thoughts on personally?
I agree and say that if you want to hear from God, then spend time in his word. And ask,
yeah, there was one pastor who was like, if you want to hear God's voice, open your Bible. And then he said, and if you want to hear God's voice audibly, read your Bible out loud. And he was kind of being like funny, but it's true.
Yeah.
If we actually believe that this is God's written word, right? And we're going to talk about this at the end, but like, I think the problem is we have such a low view of scripture. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, oh, it's so boring. It's just it's ink on paper, and really this is all. And I just go, man, then you don't understand how precious this gift is to us. Like, this is God's word. God breathed this out. Yeah. And so, yeah, if you want to hear God's word audibly, yeah, we joke, but like, read the Bible out loud. That is God speaking to you, right? So anyways, I thought that was pretty funny because everyone's on, okay, he's going to tell us, how do I hear from God audibly? Read your Bible out loud. I was like, oh, tricky. He did the old switch on us. So what do you do then? Because this idea of fresh revelation, a new word from God, it is connected to prophecy. And the Bible talks a lot about prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the role of prophet. And both Don and I have had people come up and say, you know, oh, I got this word from God for you. So what do you do then? So it's one thing to be pursuing on your own, I need a fresh word from God in my devotions, in some practices that I do. But what do you do with so-called prophets? What do you do when someone comes up and says, God told me this, and I need to tell you that? Do you want to share from, I don't know, personal example, or what do you think? Like, how do we handle that kind of stuff? Because it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So would you...
And we were talking about, you know, in the Old Testament, it clearly said if you were a false prophet and what you said didn't come true, the penalty was death, stoning to death. And so we don't do that anymore.
Whew.
But yeah, I had someone just in the last year tell me that they heard from God and that there was a judgment coming. And we were just coming into this economic hard time, and they said it's coming very soon, and called me twice to tell me. And he said, you need to get up in front of the church and warn the church.
Huh.
And so I already had my flags up, and none of that came true. All the things he said never happened, and I haven't heard from him since. But here was someone proclaiming to have heard from God,
yeah,
and wanted me to tell the people, warn them, because it was going to happen to the believers.
Yeah.
So I guess just a couple passages that tell us to be constantly on our guard. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul is just telling about the gospel. And he said, don't let anyone judge you, and to be careful when people are speaking. He says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection. So it says there will be people that, and it will seem like they're speaking for God and from God. And he says, be careful. And then he warns us. And in, even in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, things taught by demons.
Hmm.
And such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared. And wow. they tell certain things that you're not supposed to do or do that don't line up with Scripture, but they're claiming that this is from God.
Hmm.
So there's way more warnings about that too. So Paul constantly tells us to be on our guard, to test.
Yeah.
In 1 John 4 tells us to test what the prophets are saying, what these preachers are saying. And he always goes back to, does it line up with what Jesus is teaching and saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of has a reference point for us. Go back to what Jesus is saying and has taught us, the Gospels. It has to line up with that. And so he gives us warnings what to do. So when someone says, hey, I think God has spoken to me and this is what he said. And so the first thing we do is, does this line up with Scripture?
Yeah.
And maybe it involves talking with some other Christian leaders, you know, your pastors or elders, and this is what this guy said. What do you think? And we go to the Scriptures. Does it line up with that? And if it doesn't, then we know it's a false teaching.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, then we still proceed with caution. We were talking about people have told me, this is what I think God is saying for me to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's related to Scripture and sometimes it's not.
Mm.
So then, you know, I also go, okay, does this person spend a lot of time in God's Word and in prayer? And if he does, then I take that more seriously.
Sure.
Because they are spending time in God's Word. But if it's somebody who's kind of helter-skelter,
yeah,
then I would really be cautious about what they're saying.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think, like even what you were saying about testing, and 1 Thessalonians talks about that too. Don't despise prophetic utterances. And Scripture tells us over and over to test things. I think partially when we think of prophecy, you're speaking forth God's Word. So in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament before they had Scriptures, prophets would be, I'm speaking God's Word. This is what God says. Now we have God's Word. So I think actually anytime you hear a sermon or hear someone proclaim God's Word, there's a prophetic aspect to it. Not saying that preachers are prophets, but because we are, when I stand up, okay, we're in Matthew 8. When I stand up and I proclaim God's Word, those same rules apply when you hear even people that you trust. So I often, that's why I say, if I say anything that goes against this, like you need to be coming to me with pitchforks. And no, but I think that even that prophetic aspect of proclaiming God's Word, we have to test that. That's why I'm like, don't just mindlessly consume sermons, even from trusted people, to constantly be going, does that line up with what God's Word says? So that's one aspect, I think, of testing. But then, yeah, when people, and I've had this before, when people come up and say, you know, I have a fresh, they don't say fresh, but I have a word from God. God told me to tell you this. I agree with everything you said, Don, that I am very cautious. I don't just go, sweet, well, whatever you said, bling, I'm going to go do it. I'm always cautious. I am less cautious when someone comes and says, hey, I was reading in the Word. And, you know, let's just use an example. You know, Timothy talks about don't let anyone despise you or look down on you because of your youth. And if someone comes and says, hey, I was reading that and just God brought you to mind that you shouldn't. And, you know, those kind of things have happened. You know, don't let people look. And if you're, and it was one of those, wow, I'm walking through a really hard time. And God, through his word, spoke to that person to come encourage me. That I'm way more awesome. I accept that. Thank you, God, for that encouragement. Rather than, hey, I was just thinking and then God told me this about you. I'm always a little more cautious with that because I'm like, okay, yeah, like you said, does this line up with what God has already said? I've had it where, yeah, so-called prophets have said similar things. Well, this is going to happen and and a lot of times I find it very interesting. I've had false things said almost to try and puff me up. And I've had to go, okay, God, that is so not from you because it's just full of pride and all these things like, you know, God told me that you're going to lead this new revelation. And I'm just like, no, okay, that's garbage. Because I'm like, no. And I think that that's a real ploy from the enemy to start going, hey, yeah, maybe I am super special and I should be. So I've had lots of that that I just go, okay, well, thank you, but no thanks. My belief is that the role of prophet, for me and maybe, I don't think that role exists, just like the role apostle. Ephesians 2 talks about that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So I don't think there's like a modern day Elijah walking around as I am a prophet and what I say is directly from God. I just don't think that role exists. I don't think it has to exist. Hebrews 1 talks about, I'm just going to read it in, let me flip there really fast. Ba-ding! Hebrews 1, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. So I don't think there's modern day prophets because I don't think we need modern day prophets because Jesus has already spoken to us. We have the word of God. Jude 3, and I don't know if, did you already mention that? That was before we started recording. Jude 3, he says, I'm eager to write to you about our common salvation. I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Which basically, like, we got it. Once and for all, it's delivered to us. So I am very, very, very cautious when someone claims I am a prophet. I am less cautious when people say, hey, I think God spoke to me and I'm supposed to encourage you, because they're not claiming inerrancy. They're not saying whatever I say is directly from God. So I'm fine with that. But I just don't think that role, and we're going to talk about apostles next week. I don't think either of those roles exist anymore. I would say too, and I wrote down these three kind of cautions. Anyone who claims to speak for God while leading people away from God's word is a liar. So if anyone comes and says, hey, I heard from God, you should divorce your spouse, we would go, whoa. Mm-hmm. That's leading us away from God's word. So I would say that don't listen to them. if it clearly goes against the word of God, then they are not speaking God's word. Anyone who claims to have a word from God and lives in unrepentant sin, I would say is not hearing from God. And then anyone who proclaims a revelation from God and it's inaccurate or it's untrue or it doesn't come to be, then they're obviously not hearing from God. So those are kind of three cautions, I would say. But it is neat that when God does speak to you through an individual, I mean, that's really neat. And especially when it's through the word of God and we can have confidence that this is definitely from God. That's just really cool. And I've had that happen. And I know people that right in their moment of like desperation, someone will say, hey, I was reading this and God wants me to tell you this. And it's from the word. And they go, oh man, that's exactly, how did you know? Like, and I've heard that. And I've been on the other end of that when people say, like, how did you know to say that? And I said, I didn't. Only God knows. And that happens a lot in sermons when people come up and say, were you spying on me this week? How did you know to say? And I've had that, like, it's like you were speaking directly to me. And I said, I wasn't speaking directly to you. The Holy Spirit was speaking directly to you. And that's the amazing thing about God, that he does speak to us often. But we just have to be careful about how we go about I don't know, seeking revelation from him. So I want to spend some time talking about just how incredible the Bible is, but did you have any other thoughts about stoning false prophets? Or?
Nope.
I'm just kidding. Thank goodness we don't do that anymore, because like I would be stoned for sin too, so thank goodness that they stoned people for a lot of things.
Yeah.
So why don't we end by, I don't know, just talking about and encouraging people about how sufficient Scripture is. I don't know, do you want to go somewhere or go
well,
to...
Well, I mean, we did want to spend some time at 2 Timothy 3:16. And Paul says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. Now, I'm going to throw something at Andrew here.
Oh, boy.
So Paul is obviously talking about the Old Testament. So how does the New Testament fit into that?
Don, that's not fair.
Because some would argue that, yeah, Paul is talking about the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But how does the New Testament fit into there? Can you give us a brief summary?
Like how we got the New Testament? Why that?
Yeah, maybe is that part of
Yes. Part and I think it? Paul, when he's writing this, keep in mind, as Paul is writing, all scriptures breathed out by God and prophet, this is also included, this letter.
Yeah.
At the time, even though it wasn't, you know, the canon of the New Testament, the early churches knew that, oh, we got a letter from Paul. This is God's word. They would know that. So I think that there's that. But yeah, how we got the New Testament, there was some criteria for what's included and what's rejected. Because yeah, archaeologists have discovered, oh, the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of whatever. And why isn't that included in the Bible? And I mean, there was a process for what we included in the New Testament. Of course, I can't remember all five things or whatever, but yeah, it had to be written by an apostle, who Jesus appointed, which were the 12 minus Judas, obviously, because he killed himself. And then Paul, because Jesus physically appeared to Paul. And so that was one of the requirements. They had to have physically seen Jesus. So that includes the apostles. I can't remember the five things.
Yeah, and that's fine. But I think I just wanted to put you on the spot that the New Testament is also God's word. And there was a very deliberate process of selecting which books, which letters, and who qualified to be included in that list.
Yeah, so and I think also they said, obviously, like when you read the Gospel of Thomas, there is just straight heresy in there that contradicts the rest of the Bible, mm-hmm. that Jesus was married, that he had kids, that he sinned, like all this stuff that you go, well, wait a second, that doesn't line up with anything else. Yeah. So they would say, well, that's clearly not God's word. Sorry, I totally cut you off.
Yeah, but no, and just that there was a very deliberate, stringent process to include what belongs in the New Testament. And I believe it was a miracle God provided for us so that we could have his word. Mm-hmm. And that includes that all scripture is God-breathed.
Yeah.
And that it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I mentioned this verse before, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Paul is saying that God has given us the scriptures, and that's, we believe, is the Bible that we hold, so that we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Mm-hmm. So that means there's a tremendous encouragement and peace that we have God's message, and it's in God's word here, and it's God breathed. So that means it's been given by God. So these men, Paul, Peter, Matthew, Mark, all those guys were moved by God to write down his message to us.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just their idea. Well, I think God wants you to know this. No, this is God's word.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah.
And that's why it says in Hebrews 4, 12, that the word of God is living and active, yeah, because it's from him,
yeah,
to us. And so the Holy Spirit has been given to help us understand and bring God's word to life, yeah, to us. So I find it just a great encouragement that God did give us the Bible. So 2,000 years after Jesus is gone,
mm-hmm,
we have God's word. And so that's why we're just sharing from a pastor's heart that we need to be so careful that that's just not enough. And that's just back to that lie that Satan said. Did God say, yeah, is it enough? Are you sure?
Yeah.
That's it?
Hmm.
And it is. And there's life in here.
Yeah.
And so we have to, it takes a discipline to hold the line that, no, we're standing on God's word, and we're not moving. We're not going out of bounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love that. Scripture is breathed out by God, like that. Yeah, it's not just ink on paper. These are the very words of God, which to think about that is just unbelievable. Because we often go, yeah, well, Paul wrote some letters and we slapped them all together. But no, like the Holy Spirit directed the apostles to write these things down. And these are God's word, timeless words to us. So we go, man, I just want to hear from God. Well, every time you open the Bible, you are hearing from God. Just to think about that, every time you crack open the Bible, any part of the Bible that you read, you are hearing God speak to you directly. Like even a few other, like John 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples that they would know the truth. And then he says, your word is truth. Psalm 119, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. And there's lots of other places. Like Don mentioned Hebrews 4, that it's living and active, and that it pierces dividing soul and spirit and bone and marrow. So I would say, yeah, if you're saying, well, I just need something more, then you don't really, I don't know. I don't know if you've grasped the miracle that is the Bible, that God does speak to us all the time. Every time we open his word, God is speaking to us. And maybe one of the hard parts is if you've grown up in the church. I've met with lots of people who have grown up in the church, and because you're raised in it, I don't know, maybe you lose some of, yeah, the wonder of it. Yeah, we read the Bible every night and it's just boring and blah, blah, blah. But the lots of sections of the Bible are hard to slug through, but it's still God's word that we go, man, this is incredible. So I would say when you do devotions, you don't sit down and empty your mind and go, oh, God, speak to me. When you open your word, you pray and say, Holy Spirit, would you speak to me through your written word? And then trust that he would, and not just, okay, I read my chapter and now I'm done. But not emptying your mind, but actually meditating on God's word, and the Holy Spirit speaks through the word. This is an unbelievable miracle that God would give us his word. So I think, yeah, pastorally, we just want to caution whoever's listening that you don't need fresh revelations. We like, if we actually believe that the Bible is useful, profitable, like listen, for teaching, for correction, for reproof, for training, that you would be thoroughly equipped. Like, you don't need anything else is what Paul is saying. You would be competent, equipped for everything. So you don't need new revelation. You don't need to pursue, the Bible's great, but I just want to hear a new thing. You don't need a new thing. The Bible's enough. It's sufficient. And then just to have caution when you listen to preachers and when you hear, when people come to you and say, hey, God spoke to me, to just be very cautious to go, okay, one, does it line up with what God has already said? And two, yeah, is this a person that I trust? Mm-hmm. Or is it someone who's saying, hey, I'm a prophet, God said this, and their life is a mess, and they're telling you to turn away from Jesus or whatever, just to be very cautious in that, I guess. So that's our fresh word to you today. Just kidding. That was a bad joke. So hopefully that's been helpful, and hopefully that you would just have a renewed appreciation for the Word of God, that it is sufficient. And next week we're going to kind of do almost a part two about apostles. So tune back in next week. Are there modern day apostles? Is there a whole new fresh apostolic era? So yeah, hopefully that'll be helpful to you as well. God bless.